This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, good Tuesday morning to you. Thanks for joining us on Sports Map Radio. And we will get in to the Eastern Conference Finals, which starts tonight as the Celtics and the Miami Heat battle in South Florida in game number one, which I think is going to be a good series. But, you know, I say that a lot, and sometimes the series aren't as good as I think it's going to be. But I think this coaching matchup between Eric Spoelstra, who I've said over and over again, and I'm going to repeat it, I think he's the most underrated coach that we have out there. Because I think with his two NBA championships that he has, given that it comes with the big three of LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. He managed those egos. He got Miami into the finals in the bubble. He's got a very competitive team, the number one seed in the East this year. I think he's a completely underrated coach because in the end, when you look, he has worked under Pat Riley, one of the greatest basketball minds in NBA history. But Ime Udoka of the Boston Celtics, who I did not know much about when he got to Boston, has done an absolutely magnificent job. And I hate to say this because I like Brad Stevens, but I think he was able to take the Celtics to a place Brad Stevens couldn't take. And so I think we got two very, very smart coaches who are going to be making some good adjustments in this series, depending on how both teams are going to be playing early on. I think it's going to be epic. I really do. I think it's going to be a throwback NBA series. I don't think you're going to see a high-scoring affair. These are the two best defenses in the league. So if you like defensive basketball, you are going to like this series. And I think what we have in the Western Conference is going to be not the exact opposite per se, but I think when you marry the stars of the past with the star of the future and the Splash Brothers with adding Draymond Green and Jordan Poole, you add that to the rising meteor that is Luka Doncic, I think that Western Conference could equally have a big, huge impact on how we see, you know, the rest of the NBA season so far. But I want to start off the show by talking about somebody who's not in the finals of the conferences, and that's Chris Paul. Because, man, the arrows were flying around at Chris Paul after Sunday's huge loss by the Phoenix Suns. And the numbers are in, and the numbers don't lie. Point God cannot get it done in the postseason. Does he deserve the heavy, heavy criticism that he's taking? And what new information are we learning about Phoenix and the way they were, how healthy they actually weren't in the series with Dallas? How does that change our view of the Phoenix Suns and that collapse on Sunday night? We'll talk about that coming up next. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, and welcome into Sports Map Radio here on a Tuesday. All right, so like I said, I'm pretty excited about the Western Conference, Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA, especially the Celtics-Miami series. I think you got two fantastic coaches there. I think you got two, you know, excellent players, of course, in Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum. You've got great role players. These are two teams that battled each other in the bubble. I mean, they are very good defensive basketball teams. But in the West, you've got, again, Luka Doncic, who is a series away from playing in the NBA Finals and is really emerging as not just a superstar, which he already is, but like that next level megastar. And as much as people in Denver, for example, where I spent a lot of time and I still know a lot of people there, are just jumping up and down how excited and happy they are that, Nikola Jokic is the two-time MVP, the Nuggets have gone nowhere. I mean, absolutely nowhere. They did go to the Western Conference Finals in the bubble, but they haven't gone anywhere with Nikola Jokic. And while the Mavericks haven't done much with Luka yet, they are one series away from going to the finals. But the team that's not in this thing is the Phoenix Suns. And the Phoenix Suns had 64 wins during the regular season and the number one seed in a very, very good Western Conference. You know, and they've got, you know, Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, right? And they, you know, Mikal Bridges, and then Chris Paul. And so Chris Paul's been taking a lot of heat because the numbers come out for Chris Paul, and now it's like, oh, there he is. He's 0-6 in game sevens in his career. He's 0-2 in playoff series in which he has a 2-0 lead. And we are a numbers-based society when it comes to sports. And those numbers can be different, and a lot of times they change, but we like numbers a lot. especially in the NBA. You can go down the list of who's the greatest player of all time, and where do the people who support Michael Jordan come down on? 6 championships in 8 years, right? Forget all the other things that Michael Jordan did in his NBA career. They go to the 6 titles. Forget that Bill Russell had 11. They go to the 6 titles. Kobe knew that, and that's why he wanted his. That's why he wanted 6 titles. He knew that. He knew where people were leaning towards. LeBron doesn't seem to care as much about 6 titles. He cares about some other, you know, other things. And the LeBron supporters sort of push 6 titles away. But nevertheless, that proves my point that we are a society that sort of says, well, here are the numbers you need, right? And we like to take numbers apart. And in Chris Paul's case, we're taking these game 7s in which he cannot lead a team to victory, and these series in which he's up 2-0 and he can't close out the deal. Now, everyone knows that Chris Paul is one of the best point guards in NBA history. He's on that list, right? In terms of assists per game, he's number 1 in the NBA. And he does take, as Monty Williams said, he does take his team and elevates that team. So, yes, they may not win an NBA championship, but he takes them to another level. But people are ready to attack Chris Paul here. Now, is it justified? Well, here's the thing. I like Chris Paul, but I have to be honest with you. Just because I like him, I can't dismiss this, because I don't think I would dismiss this with any other player. Maybe a player I didn't like. If there was an NBA point guard that I wasn't fond of, and they had these kind of numbers, I would probably say these are very important. If you're the leader of the team, you've got to find a way to win game 7s. 0-6 in game 7s is not an anomaly. Something's happening. There's something about the teams he's on and the teams he's leading that are not capable of winning must-win games. And the 0-2 in the 4 series in which he's been up 2-0 that he's not closed out the deal, or his team has not closed out the deal, that's disturbing too. Right, that's disturbing as well. 4 times he's had a 2-0 series lead to lose it. Like, you don't have to do the math. If 2 games are off the board in a 7-game series, that means there's 5 games left. That means a team that, if they are going to beat you, has to win 4 of those 5. Again, those are really troubling numbers. So a lot of the statistics that he's been able to accrue in his long career, and a very, very good career, are overshadowed by these numbers. And they're legit. I mean, that's legit criticism. Because I'll be honest with you, if anybody else was talked about in the same way at their position that Chris Paul is talked about as being a point guard, and they had that on their resume, it would be justifiable. What if Kyrie Irving had these numbers? What if Kevin Durant had these numbers? What if Steph Curry had these numbers? Right? They'd be legit. You'd be questioning, going, what's going on? Well, now there's a report in Phoenix that Chris Paul was injured in this series. He was dealing with a quad injury. And then he was limping out of the arena, or at least walking very slow and gingerly after the loss on Sunday in Dallas. Mark Spears reporting this on Twitter. He had a left quad injury. Now, if you've listened to this show for a while, one thing you know about me is I don't like cliches. Sometimes you can't avoid them. I get that, but I try to avoid them as much as I possibly can. I think they're lazy. And a cliche that you hear a lot over and over again that doesn't really explain a lot is when you hear players, for example, they're gamers. You'd have to drag them off the court. Yeah, they're competitors. They just want to compete. They'll go out there with one leg. Well, you know who shouldn't send you out there with one leg? The coach. No one is thinking a player should ever self-diagnose enough to pull them out of a game. The player's mindsets are that of a competitor. That of a, you're going to have to drag me off this floor. That's what coaches are for. And if a coach is leaving a player like Chris Paul out on the floor, knowing he's dealing with a quad injury in the postseason, and the struggles are real, and he's turning the ball over, and he's not a good defender anyway, but it's being exploited when the Mavericks are no problems double-teaming other players because they know Chris Paul's not going to do anything to hurt him. then Monty Williams owes his team the best chance to win. Monty Williams screwed this series up. It's not so much on Chris Paul. It's on Monty Williams. You know, we see this a lot in baseball, just to go to that sport, right? How many times do you see a pitcher, he's pitching his heart out. And then he gets to the eighth inning in a close game and he gets a little shaky. He's walked a batter. He's thrown a wild pitch. He's not hitting the strike zone anymore. The manager comes out. Pitcher goes, I got this, Skip. I got this. And no, you don't. No, you don't. You did your job. You did a great job. But give me the ball. Because I've got to get somebody else in here. Pitcher doesn't want to leave. What's the manager supposed to do? Go, yeah, I tried to get him. He didn't want to leave. So let him give up seven more runs and we lose the game, right? That's what your manager or coach, that's what you're there for. You're supposed to make the decision when the player won't make that decision. A lot of arrows at Chris Paul, and rightfully so. Again, 0-6 in game sevens, 0-4 in series, which he's up 2-0. Those are glaring, man. Those are glaring. But if he legitimately had a left quad injury and Monty Williams was continuing to play him and continuing to put him out there for those kind of minutes, and Dallas was exploiting this for the rest of the series by, again, playing basically 5-on-4 basketball because they knew Chris Paul wasn't going to do much. He was an offensive liability, and defensively he wasn't doing a thing. He doesn't do a thing defensively anyway. Then that's on Monty Williams. He's the coach of the year, and rightfully so. 64 wins. You can't take that away from him. Number one seed in a tough Western Conference. God bless. But he got out-coached in the series by Jason Kidd, who realized after the first two games he needed to make some changes. He had to find a way to get some other people involved. You want to get Chris Paul on that court because you like him, you love him, and you think he's going to do great things. But if he's injured and you're not pulling him out and you're benching other guys and you're not bringing in Cameron Payne or anybody else and you keep Chris Paul out there, that's on you. That is completely on you. So again, I don't mind Patrick Beverly commenting on Chris Paul on television, saying he was a cone. I like that because it doesn't do anything. Just go around him like a cone. I never heard that term before. I followed the NBA a long time. I've never heard a player that can't play defense is called a cone because it's like going around a cone. That's pretty good. I've never heard that before. Is that a Patrick Beverly thing or is that an NBA thing?
Sounds like a Patrick Beverly thing.
It sounds like a Patrick Beverly thing. I'm not embarrassed to admit that if that's a common phrase, I've missed it. And I've been in NBA locker rooms. I've never heard it.
But it's perfect.
Pretty hilarious.
It's a perfect thing to say.
Without question. He doesn't play defense. It's his thing. He doesn't play defense. But he wasn't good offensively either. So I just go back to Monty Williams. And I think if you're going to throw some arrows at Chris Paul, throw some his way too. Because he needs to monitor his players. And he owes it to every single person on that Suns team to make sure that the best team is on that floor. And if it is not Chris Paul, then you sit him down. You got to do that. Chris Paul played over 32 minutes a night in that series. Give me a break. If he legitimately had a left quad injury, what the hell is Monty Williams doing? 32 and a half minutes in the series for a guy with a point guard with a quad injury? Are you insane? Either you didn't know about it, or you couldn't see it, or you did know about it and still thought an injured Chris Paul is better than anybody else you had on the team. And if that's the case, how the hell did you win 64 games? Like, with all seriousness, if the injured Chris Paul is the only thing you had, how did you win 64 games? I could see that like an Atlanta Hawks team. Like that just barely got into the playoffs and was in that play-in tournament and had to play Miami in the first round. And you had Trae Young and it was like, oh, we don't have anybody. Like 60% of Trae Young is still better than 100% of anybody else we got. Because that would be the case. But Phoenix was the number one team in the West. You had nobody else. Like Cameron Payne. You couldn't use Cameron Payne in that role. He probably would have done a better job offensively than Chris Paul in that series, without a doubt. So Monty Williams, for all of you out there, hosts, players, whoever, you want to take your shots at Chris Paul, fine. There's legitimate reasons to. Don't forget Monty Williams in your attack, because he deserves it too. All right, coming up next, Ron and I were blown away this morning when Michael, our overnight guy at the network, told us what tonight was going to be. Neither one of us knew what event was happening this evening. We'll tell you about that next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, when you discover a new bottle of Cabernet or Chardonnay that you would like to enjoy, Total Wine and More, you're going to find a whole lot more. So explore the wondrous selection and totally low prices at TotalWine.com. That's TotalWine.com, where you'll find what you love and love what you find. Drink responsibly, B21. I don't drink enough wine. I like wine. I don't drink enough, and I always tell my wife, I know it's like a glass is kind of good for you. And I probably should drink a little wine at dinner. Doesn't it help the digestion?
I think so.
Is that what they say?
I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're going on a family cruise this summer.
With drink wine.
My father, yeah, my mother and father, my sister, my brother and his family and our family. We went on this a couple years ago. And like, you know how the sommelier comes to the table? Like they kind of recommend wines and stuff. So I had wine at dinner every night, and they like knew which one I liked. So they had one ready for me all the time, and I thought that was kind of neat. And I always thought that was like such a difficult job being I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Sommelier is the wine person. It's like, oh, we have a beautiful 1958 Chateau Divan that you're going to love to go with that ribeye. You're like, oh, it's a pretty good gig to recommend wines. I don't know. I don't know much about like how to recommend wines, but the way they talk, I'm kind of sold on it. So, TotalWineAndMore.com. Rosemary on Twitter. This has nothing to do with your point, but Chris Paul is the most unathletic looking basketball pro I have ever seen. That's very nice. Poor Chris Paul. Is Chris Paul just waking up going, "I'll take it all"? All right, fine. I'll take it all. Another game seven. I couldn't get the job done in. Another series I blew after being up 2-0. God, that's got to get old, man. Isn't that gotta be tiring? Getting these game sevens, and do you just press after a while?
It's got to be frustrating for him because, I mean, he's only made, what, one final?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you think back, like, when he was with the Clippers, they had really good Clippers teams.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
And they couldn't get over the hump there, and then... Yeah, now recently it's like, you get so close, and then no.
Yeah. I mean, to be 0-6 in game sevens, like I said, once or twice is fine. 0-6, that's a problem.
Or what about, I can't always forget the NBA ref's name.
Oh, the one guy that...
The one guy...
What was his name? Scott Howard or something?
Scott something, yeah.
Scott something, yeah.
And he's 0-14?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, there's always something.
When they were getting blown out on Sunday, that was one of the first things I looked for. I was like, oh, who's the ref?
Yeah, is that the guy? Is it the guy?
is he officiating this game today? Because you already know he's not going to. I mean, maybe, you know what? He's done playoff games. He's done finals and stuff like that. They probably purposely kept him away. It's like, wow, we don't need this.
Yeah, we don't need to add on. Yeah, no doubt.
Again, if you're Chris Paul, do you even go, oh, guys, sorry, man, we're going to lose tonight?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so nevertheless, that's the Chris Paul situation. So I don't know. I don't want to defend him because I do think that those numbers are glaring and there's a problem. And you know what? The entire team needs to take blame, and maybe this is a little bit more on Chris Paul than it needs to be. I think Monty Williams deserves a lot of the blame too. But nevertheless, I know it's fun to take some pot shots at players who fail to get the job done. All right, speaking of which, so this morning, Ron and I get started right before the show, start talking, and Michael Hernandez, who works at the network during the overnights, had told us, or told you.
Told me.
Told you.
I mean, all he simply said was like, hey, guess what tonight is? And I'm like, I have no idea.
He goes, no idea.
Tonight we find out if the Rockets get the number one pick.
And then you said, what? The draft lottery is tonight?
It's tonight?
And then you told me, and I went, what? The draft lottery is tonight? What an... I mean, did I miss the hype around this? Did I see it promoted and forgot that the 17th was a Tuesday night?
I'm thinking it might have been a weekend
or something, or like
I'm not going to sit here and claim that I've seen every single NBA playoff game, but I've watched a few of them. I've watched enough to think that, you know, it might have been mentioned in passing somehow, right?
I did not see anything. I'm not saying it. Let me just make this clear. I'm not saying it wasn't heavily promoted. So if you hit me up on Twitter and said, oh, my God, I saw 15 ads for it. Great. I didn't. But if I did, I might have been on the laptop and not paying attention. I don't know. Like, I knew it was coming sometime in May.
It's televised, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know it has been in the past, but this year, is it televised this year?
So he's all excited because the Rockets were abysmal.
Yes.
And now have a chance to have the number one overall pick. Right? And here's the thing. This is why I'm so, like, kind of blown away with this. Because I like the NBA draft lottery. I like the show. I think it's hilarious. I think it's so funny when every lousy team has to get up there and, like, send a representative for their inept franchise. Except the franchises that are good, that landed in the lottery through some sort of wheeling and dealing. But for the most part, it's like, here's the Houston Rockets. They stunk. And here's general manager, blah, blah, blah. And here's head coach, blah, blah, blah. And here's owner, blah, blah, blah. Here's the owner's daughter. Here's the owner's kid. Here's a famous player. Like, whoever gets the job of representing the team and they got a good luck charm because we're terrible, and the only way we're going to get better is if we get this number one pick. Like, as we've said many times, the New Orleans Pelicans dancing and screaming and hollering when they landed Zion Williamson a couple of years ago, only to fast forward to 2022, and he barely plays for them. So you never know. When I was younger, the draft lottery was a big deal. Like, a big deal. Stern was out there with those envelopes, you know? And now they had to create a more see, the thing was, if you didn't grow up in the 80s, first of all, I'm sorry. You should. It was a great time. But nevertheless, in the 1980s, the way they did the draft lottery was they put the team logos in envelopes, and they put the envelopes in a big bin, and then they spun the bin like bingo or anything else. They spun it. And David Stern would reach in and grab an envelope. And that would be the number one pick. And then he'd go down the list, and then they would open them up. And this led to the conspiracy in 1985 that the envelope that had the Knicks logo in it was either A, frozen, so he knew which cold envelope to grab, or two, had a crease in it enough so that when he was feeling around for it, he found the one with the crease, and that was the Knicks logo, because everybody thought that the NBA would want Patrick Ewing in the biggest market and on the biggest market team that they had in the league.
And they were right.
Right? So, again, it was like pretty cool, right? It was pretty cool. And then they started going, okay, this is like Orlando got back-to-back number one picks, thinking Anthony Hardaway and Shaquille O'Neal. So they were like, well, we got to weigh this a little bit. Like, if you're the worst team, you should have a better odd of getting the number one pick than a lousy team that's barely missing the playoffs. Like, not a lousy team, like a good team that barely missed out on the playoffs that's in the lottery. They shouldn't have the same odds as you being a lousy team, which for me goes, no. That's why you did this in the first place. Like, don't skew it. Like, don't play around with it. Like, put everybody at the same odds. This is why you didn't want any tanking, and this prevented the tanking. Don't reward awfulness. We're going to talk about this some more, because some of my favorite moments in NBA history occurred during the draft lottery. All right, Tony D, Ron Culver on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, so we were talking about the NBA draft lottery, which will be tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern. And we were just kind of talking about how the fact that Ron and I didn't even know that this was tonight, which is really weird for us because we usually are on top of
the first comment I made to you, and you totally agree with me, that if this was the NFL, and you said it best during one of the breaks, was that if this was the NFL, this would be the highest rated show of the season.
Can you imagine if the NFL did a lottery for the number one pick for all the teams that didn't make the playoffs? Like, first of all, if you're a fan of a team that did make the playoffs, you'd watch anyway. But if they said, everybody that doesn't make the playoffs, we have a lottery. I don't even care if the lottery is weighted or if it's just envelopes.
Rigged.
I don't care. Rigged. I don't care. Like, if the NFL said, all right, our draft is in late April. Let's say it's on April 26th or whatever. And our draft lottery is going to be held on, I don't know, make it like the Sunday between the Final Four and the NCAA championship.
Well, I was going to say, what about the like the Monday after Selection Sunday?
Yeah, that would actually be better because they would give teams enough time to sort of wheel and deal based on the pit. Like you want to give the teams enough time to go, all right, we're going to start.
Come up with a plan for the NFL?
We should. We just did. We just did. The NBA, so again, as I was saying earlier, if you grew up in the 80s and kind of watched this in the 80s, you probably remember the envelope format. The NBA has messed around with the draft lottery over the years for its effectiveness. So, like, in 1985, David Stern pulled out all the envelopes, and then he went down the list and said, hey, with the fourth pick, and he would pull them out. And then the number one pick, the New York Knicks. And everyone's like, hey. Then after a while, they were like, okay, let's just do the top three with the envelopes. And then let's just do, like, whoever is left is based on win-loss record. So they did it that way. And then they got to this ping pong ball thing. And then they started weighing it down a little bit more. And now a lot of the fun of the draft lottery is kind of taken out a bit. And I understand why they do it, man. Like I said, if you're a 48 team win team that barely missed out, you shouldn't have the same chance of getting the number one pick as a 20 win team. I get that. I understand. I understand that. But part of the allure of the draft lottery is sort of like the kind of unknown, like who's going to get it. Like it's kind of a prize, especially if you have a Patrick Ewing in 85, that's, or Zion Williamson or the player everybody wants, right? Shaq or whoever, that is like the big prize. If you land the draft lottery, it sort of adds a level of excitement. This year, it's a little different. Like, there is, you know, a couple of players. Yeah, Chet Holmgren of Gonzaga is expected to be a top pick. Jaden Ivey of Purdue is expected to be a top pick. You've got Paolo Banchero of Duke, or as we like to call him in Formula One, Patrick Mahomes is a top pick. A top pick. Jabari Smith at Auburn. Like, there's a whole bunch of them.
And then there's a bunch of European guys we've never heard of.
Yeah, that you've never heard of.
That will become MVPs.
Yeah. So back in 86, and I talked about this yesterday with the Celtics, in 86, through a series of trades and whatnot, Philadelphia and Boston, these rivals in the Eastern Conference, actually were competing for the top pick in the 86 draft. And Philadelphia won that draft lottery, and they traded it to Cleveland. Cleveland took Brad Doherty, and they got a bunch of players out of the deal. But Boston got Len Bias, and unfortunately, Len Bias passed away a couple of days later. But if you talk to Celtics fans, they'll tell you that like that moment really signaled the end of everything that Boston team was building in the 80s, because they didn't have a young superstar to sort of take over the team, and you know, so that Larry, Kevin, and Robert could continue to play, but have a young superstar on that team that sort of would carry the load for them. So they never really got that. But I mean, there's all sorts of fun memories of the draft lottery. Orlando picking back-to-back years. I mean, you talk about, if there's one thing that people talk about being rigged, it's this. Like, if you want to go down to sports conspiracy, I won't. I don't really like sports conspiracies when they say, well, the NBA, they like the Knicks to win. So I don't believe that it's just too damaging. It's too complex to rig games. I don't think you have to have so many people involved in it. You got to keep everybody silent. It's too complicated. You'd better off just playing the game and see where it goes. But a draft lottery, I absolutely could see them rigging that thing. I absolutely could see the 85 the draft lottery being rigged. Of course I could. Why wouldn't they? Right? They They know it's the entertainment game. It isn't like a real lottery where people are buying, you know, tickets at the gas station and you have to keep it on the up and up so that, you know, Bobby Joe and Sam from Paducah don't win, you know, $44 million. Like you would go, yeah, we want the biggest superstar in the biggest media market. Yeah, freeze that envelope. I'll pull it out. I'll get it. But now it's like, it's got these ping pong balls and these combinations come out and it's now guarded by like the whoever guards like the Academy Awards and stuff like there are like the security team.
Is it like you have Green, Ernstein, Young?
Yeah, is that what it is? Yeah, like is that what it is? Yeah, they're the ones that are like they get the
do
order.
They still do that, by the way? Do they still bring out the accountants?
Yeah, right.
Remember they used to do that, bring them out on stage and the guys would be standing there with briefcases? Like, why you got a briefcase in a award show?
Love, man, and it's so fun when they were to reveal who got it. And everybody, so you found who the representatives are for tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now
so
a lot of them are boring.
Okay.
Right, but like for the Charlotte Hornets, PJ Washington Jr.
All right,
he'll be out there. Now some of these, just the way they describe them are funny. Detroit Pistons will have Richard Hamilton, Pistons legend.
Rip Hamilton, sure.
But this one kind of made me chuckle because, I'll save that one for last. Portland Trail Blazers, they'll be sending Dame Lillard.
Damian Lillard has time to go to Chicago to hang out in this stupid thing.
Of course he does.
He doesn't even want to be on the team anymore.
San Antonio Spurs are sending David Robinson.
Why not?
Spurs legend actually fits. And, you know, and he's a strategic partner. But this one kind of made me laugh because I don't know if I ever thought of him this way. But Oklahoma City Thunder are sending Nick Collison, Thunder legend.
Thunder legend?
That's how it's described.
Huh. Okay, I guess. Was he a number one pick for them? Is that why?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, if he was a legend, don't you think you would know that off the top of your head?
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Well, David Robinson makes sense. He was their first pick when San Antonio won the lottery in like 88.
Yeah, but calling him a Spurs legend. Yes, yeah. I get that.
And then like Tim Duncan was I remember in 97, San Antonio got the number one pick over Boston. And Tim Duncan was because that's another Boston
thing.
The
Twin Towers for a little bit.
We didn't get Tim Duncan in the draft. You know, should have got Tim Duncan.
And I'm fine with them calling Rip Hamilton a Pistons legend. I get
sure,
that.
Sure, why not? He used to wear that mask, remember?
Yeah, but
back in the day?
Never thought of... I didn't even know... Like, well, if I really thought hard, I'd probably remember it, but it didn't come off the top of my head that Nick Collison played for the Thunder.
I didn't either. Well, why can't we do celebrities? I mean, if you were an actor, wouldn't you want to go represent your favorite NBA
of course.
Team? Like, if I was... Like, okay... Jim Parsons from Big Bang Theory is a huge Rockets fan. Wouldn't he be awesome?
I think
he would
be.
To bring to Chicago? Like, if you're the Rockets, go call Jim Parsons up and go, hey, man, would you, like, because if I'm a super fan and I'm a famous person, I would be honored sit at the desk representing my NBA team.
You bring up an excellent point because I think half the fun is seeing who these people.
I do, too.
Because, you know, the Houston Rockets are bringing Raphael Stone, general manager.
Boo.
I mean...
No offense to Mr. Stone.
No, he does. You know, I mean, he hasn't really done a great job, but, you know, we don't care about you.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. You know what? I would much rather... I mean, what if it was like Beyonce? I know she's from Houston. I don't even know if she's a Rockets fan. She's probably more of a Knicks fan than anything. But how fantastic would it be? Like you said, you know, bring a celebrity. If the Cleveland Cavaliers had a pick, you know, why not Drew Carey?
Why not Drew Carey? Yeah, make it like Match Game.
Yeah.
You know? Bom, 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 bom. Right? It's time to match the stars.
Sure,
right?
He would have stepped away from the prices right for a day.
Exactly. Representing the Orlando Magic, former Disney Mouseketeer Britney Spears.
Yeah, why not?
Da-da-da, hey! Exactly. I think Jim Parsons would be fantastic.
Yeah, and you can throw in an old athlete from time to time. That's fine.
Sure. That's no problem. But
and you know what? And Portland, if you want to bring a current athlete to make him happy, I guess.
Stay here, Dave. And I'm saying this as an NBA fan, but I don't know. Maybe if I was a mega, you know, if I was a TV star or something like that, maybe I'd be thinking differently. Like, I don't want to go do that. But I would be thrilled if, like, my agent got a phone call from, like, my favorite NBA team. And they're like, hey, the draft lottery's tonight. They got a 22% chance of landing the first pick or 18% chance or whatever. They'd like you to sit with the hat on, being the good luck charm. I'd be getting on the first plane.
Up.
I'd be like, get me on the first plane. I'd love it. Fly me coach. I don't care. Stick me between two fat people on the plane. I don't care. Put me on a plane where they don't even serve peanuts. I don't care. I'll get there. I'll walk if I have to. Like, I would love it. Draft lottery, good luck charm. Because what if you were the team that got the number one pick with you sitting at that table? An infamy. Right?
Yeah, we always remember the kid.
Yeah, that's right. What was it?
Was it the president's son or something like that?
Yeah, the Cleveland Cavaliers guy, Dan Gilbert, his boy was up there. Like, there were two draft lottery conspiracies. One, of course, was Patrick Ewing. The other one was when LeBron made the decision and kicked Cleveland in the face. They won the draft lottery the next year. Right? Like,
just
that's
lucky, I guess.
Right? Like, the 2011 draft lottery belonged to them. They won that. How great is that? Like, July of 2010, LeBron kicks you in the face. 10 months later, you got the number one pick, and they took Kyrie Irving with that pick. Good for them. Good for them. I mean, LeBron ended up, you know, winning all the championships that he did, but nevertheless, he brought one back to Cleveland eventually.
That's all you needed. You just wanted that one.
Yeah. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next hour. Also, stick around for hour three because we have got a loaded hour of Eastern Conference Finals basketball. We finally tracked down somebody from Miami who's been ignoring us for the whole playoffs, but they are going to talk about the Heat, and we'll also talk Celtics as well, all coming up in hour three. It is Tony D, Ron Culver, and it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue hour two. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll also get a little bit more into the PGA Championship, a little less on Phil, a little bit more on the competition. Tiger Woods has been in the practice rounds. And, you know, a lot of people are wondering what kind of, what kind of Tiger will be showing up for this tournament. I have no idea. I mean, he's only played in the Masters. Like, I have no clue. Like, the Masters was a different beast for Tiger. We'll talk about more about this in hour two, but it was a familiar place. If he felt like he could get around, he knew the course really, really well, you know, because he's played hundreds of rounds there. Southern Hills is not one of those places. You know, you go there, you play a couple of practice rounds, you might not see the place again for a few decades, a decade and a half. 2007 was the last major that was played there. So that's a good chunk of time. He was won by Tiger Woods. We'll talk about that coming up as well. But again, hour number three, we've got Miami Heat and then, of course, the Boston Celtics. We're going to have two guests on in hour three to break down both those teams for tonight's game. A series that I really do hope lives up to what we could get out of it with Jimmy Butler, Jason Tatum, Ime Udoka, Eric Spoelstra, the bench, role players. Celtics are so deep all the way down. Miami a little differently, different build to it, but again, same. The fact that Miami's been sort of such an underappreciated basketball team all season, and I started thinking about this of all the teams in the Eastern Conference that were I want to say the top seven or eight, not the teams that were in the play-in tournament. I don't think they really count, but you know, maybe the top seven. Then, if you were to take any of those teams, Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, Brooklyn, I'm trying to think of a couple of others, any of the other ones, and you put them in the top of the Eastern Conference, made them the number one overall seed. Oh, goodness. There would be all sorts of praise, all sorts of hype, all sorts of what kind of team this is and how great this team is and how difficult this team is to beat and whatnot. But if there's only one team, there was only one team on that list that you would say, which is the one team will not get written up about very much and won't be respected enough. And it would be the Miami Heat. For whatever reason, it would be the Miami Heat. And I'd love to get a little deeper into that story because I do think that the for whatever reason, and I do not understand whether it's because we're not 100% sure this is a team that's capable of beating other teams with stars on it. Right. Well, they did. They beat a not very good Atlanta team, and then they beat a Philadelphia 76ers team. I mean, they're capable of winning the whole thing. Of course they are. But at the same time, they're just not getting the kind of run that I think the other teams would. My God, if Milwaukee was the number one seed, you wouldn't stop hearing about it all the way through to the end of the playoffs. If that was the case. If you had the Celtics as the number one seed, if they were the top team out of the Eastern Conference, you wouldn't hear the end of that. But for whatever reason, Miami did not get the respect. And I go back to what I've said many, many times, which is I don't mind athletes saying, you know, I hear the haters. But also, I just don't think that as an athlete, you should put those kind of people in your brain. Just go out there, do what you do, and make the people that are cheering for you every night play for them. Don't play for the lone reporter that didn't give you the kind of love you thought you should have gotten. But we'll examine that coming up in hour number three. All right, hour one's in the books. Hour two coming up next. Good, the bad, and the dumb. And then we'll talk a little PGA Championship as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.